The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark. Teaching in the temple, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Holy God, send your Spirit upon us. Fill our hearts, our minds, our imaginations with your fire and your love. Amen. First, the bad news. I've got a cold. The good news, I'm going to keep it short. Well, I told that to the 8 o'clock, and I don't think I did, but oh well. For those of you who wonder what this is called, evidently, this is called my ebb and my flow. I was told that the other day, Martha. These readings today, as most of you know, we've taken out one of the two readings before the gospel in the hopes to be able to focus a little bit more. And the reading that we took out actually was about Naomi and her need for a husband. And then we have this letter to the Hebrews, which is this kind of strange dissertation on, for all intents and purposes, blood sacrifice. And then we get this psalm today that is about how children are like like arrows in a man's quiver, so that he'll be able to prevail in the battle when he tries to get into the city at the gate. All very helpful. And then in juxtaposition to that, we have this gospel reading, which is really interesting because the other readings are, well, let's not worry about that. In my cold, I lost the word. So we're going to worry about that. But what we have here is this observation, which is very different than the other readings. Basically, you get the picture of kind of Jesus and his followers sitting up on the railing in front of the temple, just watching people go by, which we can all appreciate. I don't know about you, but I love just watching people. There's some great places to do it. The best ever was Grand Central Station before they cleaned it up and ruined it. But just watching people go by. And so Jesus makes this observation that he's like, look at all the rich folk. Look at all the rich folk. They come in and they hand over large sums of money to the temple, but yet they lead their lives in ways that don't really speak to an understanding of a relationship with God. So it's kind of this hypocritical expression of faith that if I give enough money, then I don't have to worry about how I live my life. Now, if you're willing to buy in on that at stewardship time, go for it. But no, but one certainly does need to follow the other. And then he turns and he talks about this woman who has come up. Now, the use of the expression widow is very intentional, because you have to understand that a woman without a husband in Jesus's culture had no station whatsoever, no power, no influence, no income, so to speak of. She's in really tough straits. She's got a real problem on her hands. And yet she is willing to give what little she has. As Jesus says, while they give out of their abundance, she gives out of her poverty. This is the reading that we all know as the widow's mite. And usually where the preacher goes with this is something to the effect of, look how wonderful she is because she gives everything she has, while those bad, meanie people give money to buy themselves more space. I don't really think that's what Jesus was getting at, because if you listen to it, the part about the widow, there's no judgment in his statement. He's just stating fact. There she is, giving basically everything she's got. She's all in. The problem is with this first crowd. Now, he doesn't say that they shouldn't give the money to the temple or to the, you know, treasury. He doesn't seem to have a problem with that. The problem he's got is that they live the rest of their week in a way that is extraordinarily self-serving. The expression, they devour widows' houses, her homes. Okay, so he's got these two things going on. There's a lot going on culturally in this gospel that we could spend a lot of time getting our head around to understand it better, but I'm not going to do that today. What I'd like us to think about is, are we consistent? Are we all in? Or are we just, you know, kind of symbolically in to this thing we are going to call the Jesus way? Now, I don't know about you, but I find all in really, really hard on a lot of levels. I'm a relatively selfish individual. I like to take care of myself and my family. It's hard to not get past what we perceive as our own need. But at the same time, I like to think that I have some sense of gratitude and understanding of the world that we live in and the privileged position that most of us possess. So when we talk about all in, let's talk about 85%. Let's hedge for a little bit here, okay? Or do we just simply say, I go to church once in a while, I give a little bit of money once in a while, I'm nice, you know, I'm relatively kind to people, you know, and that's enough. That's what Jesus wants. And I would like to suggest that that is not what Jesus wants. For me, this is a gospel about commitment, not about money. The culture in which I grew up in, and I suspect most of you did, brainwashes us. And it brainwashes us to come to this understanding that we are who we are because we made ourselves who we are. I am a product of my hard work. I am a product of my intelligence. I am a product of my sheer awesomeness. Somehow or another, we've convinced ourselves that we can do this on our own. What I think's interesting about the widow in this story is she doesn't associate her station in life, her power, her influence, her wealth, she doesn't associate any of that with her relationship with God. She's still all in, even though life's been unbelievably hard. If you're in any city in the United States, at least any city I can think of in the United States, where are you going to find the most churches? In any city in the United States, where are you going to find the most churches? Where are the most churches in Hartford? Actually, they're not. They're not on Main Street. The biggest churches are on Main Street. The most churches are on Albany Avenue. One little storefront church after another. Frequently Hispanic, frequently Pentecostal. In every city I can think of, the largest number of faith communities, particularly Christian churches, are in the poorest sections of town. Why is that? Because when you don't have everything you think you need or want, you realize that you have some sense of reliance. That to be, we have to be in relationship with God. So this gospel is not about, look at the rich guy who, you know, toots his horn when he lays out money in the temple in such a way that it really causes him no discomfort whatsoever. In fact, he gets accolades for it. Nor is it about the poor little old lady who gives to the point that she no longer, Jesus uses the expression, everything she has for what she needs. My first instinct is, that's stupid. She's got to buy lunch, she's got to buy dinner, but I don't think that's what the story's about. It's about, are you in or are you not? We can talk about the math of it later. Do you live your life with an understanding of the glory and greatness of the God that has made us who we are, and hopefully our lives in some way reflect that understanding? Or do we live our lives to the glory and greatness of who we think we are, and our lives reflect that? You have to answer that for yourself. And I would suggest every day you might have a different answer. There's a joke in our house that when I get onto my pity pot, Priscilla will say, oh, it's so hard to be Bob Hooper. And I have to explain, yes, it is, and nobody understands it. It's hard. It's hard. You have to understand that. It's hard to be you. It's hard to be me. It's hard to be you. But not so much if we do it together. And if we understand that God enfolds us into God's love and protects us in those moments, whether we're rich, whether we're poor, or like most of us, I wouldn't say somewhere in the middle, a little bit farther to that side of things by world standards, but, you know, getting by. Celebrate who you are, but understand you are who you are because you are a child of God. Amen.